Blog Talk Radio.
This is the legendary bass player from the Architects of Heavy Metal. He is gone. He just hung up on us. Holy cow. Jeff Giesebutler hung up.
Well, guys, that is my new cue to start the show. Welcome to Hard Rock and Sports, a special edition new show starting every Tuesday night here at HardRockandSports.com. At Hard Rock and Sports Radio. And we have decided to start a Tuesday evening, 7 to 8, where we will recap the past week's NFL show. So, again, welcome to the Hard Rock and Sports NFL recap show live on blogtalkradio.com. Make sure you guys check us out, hardrockandsports.com. Make sure you go to, of course, our Facebook page and find out about all the great things coming up on Hard Rock and Sports. And guys, this is a weekly show where every Tuesday night, Jeff and I will get together. We won't be taking any phone calls. We will not be doing any hard rock or heavy metal. Even though it's got the banner says Hard Rock and Sports, it is, but it isn't. This is our Tuesday night NFL recap show, where we will talk about all the biggest stars, highlights, stats, and biggest news from each game from this past week's NFL games. And I'm excited. It's another night on the radio. It's more work, but I'm more excited for one reason, because my partner in crime, Mr. Jeff Towinski, will be hosting this show, and I will be the proverbial sidekick. I will be the guy, I would say I would be the eye candy, but I am nobody's eye candy. So I will be the guy who will feed Jeff his information. I will throw out some positives and negatives on each game, and we'll concentrate on each past week's games so that Thursday nights we can concentrate on the new games. We kind of get caught in the vortex every Thursday night, folks, where you try to jam it 3 hours, you try to jam in music talk and interviews and sports, and especially with football season, college and pro, there's so much to talk about that happened the past weekend that you wind up the new games or the stuff that's coming up suffers. So Jeff came up with a great idea, and he always does. So we figured, he figured, that it would be better if we kind of have one night a week where for about an hour we can recap the games. Now, we won't get too deep into Vontae Davis retiring at halftime of the Bills or Josh Gordon getting released or getting traded from Cleveland to New England. We'll kind of leave that stuff to Thursday nights. We're going to concentrate on what happened Sunday. Pat Mahomes and his 6 touchdowns. Antonio Brown blowing up on the sideline. We'll get into the Giants and the mess that they are. So there'll be so much to get to. I'm just waiting for Jeff to pop up before we can really get the show started. So I don't know if I'm talking to myself out there. I kind of never know who's listening. Nobody really listens to me anyway, so it's really not a big deal whether or not anybody's actually out there listening to me. But that's okay. I'm used to it. So, again, this show, while it says Hard Rock and Sports on the banner, this is an NFL show. So I hope you're not too disappointed. We will not be taking any calls tonight. Our calls on Thursdays are always welcome. But tonight, it's kind of about the NFL. And it's kind of about about just talking about the game. So we're only going to do this for an hour. So do me a favor, guys. Hang in there. Join us. Be part of the fun. And we'll if you got any, if you got anything you want to talk about specifically, by all means, do me a favor. Hit me up on Facebook. Let me know what your question is or what your comment is, and I'll get it up on the air during the course of the show. That's how it kind of works. Hold on a second. I'm just uploading some stuff here. But anyways, I wait for Hefe to join us. Let's see who's out there. Anybody? Let's see. Okay. Got some shared posts. Okay. So anyway, guys, again, welcome to our very first ever Hard Rockin' Sports NFL recap show. And again, while Thursday nights are sponsored by our dear friend Jay Giasio, the real Staten Island's best realtor and the official realtor of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, Thursday night belongs to my dear friends, the best record label there is right now. And I'll say that not because they're my friends and sponsors of the show, but I tell you because they are aggressive. They're hard charging. They're the guys that, you know, they're out there trying to bring you the biggest names. And you know what? Not even that. Forget that. They're not even bringing you the biggest names. They're bringing you the best music. I'm telling you, they've hit home runs. You know, I got involved listening to RFL Records and John Marhefka and everybody down there because of Silk 9, because of Hydrogen, because of the Black Knots. You know, great bands. I mean, so many great bands on RFL Records. Now they've added, you know, After the Fall, Pittsburgh PA band. Great stuff. Had them on the show last week. And, of course, Fear. My dear friends at Fear. Patrick and the boys are now officially on the label, and I'm pumped for that. So, again, Thursday night belongs to Jay, but Tuesday nights, we welcome RFL Records as the official sponsor of this. Make sure you check out www.rflrecords.com for more on all the bands. And I'm telling you guys, you will not be disappointed. Go check them out. Go listen to them. And I thank John and everybody down at RFL for, A, being friends to the show and for their support and endorsement, and, of course, for being sponsor of this episode of Hard Rockin' Sports, which will be every Thursday night, every Tuesday night from 7 to 8 Eastern time. So make sure you check us out. But now I'm going to turn the show over to the host of this week's show and the guy who will run the Tuesday night show from the captain's seat, Mr. Jeff Tolinski. Jeff, what's up, brother?
Nothing, dude. I got to get that board in front of me on Tuesdays, man. I got to reel you in.
Well, I was kind of
just like a horse running wild. I got to reel you in.
Well, I was just filibustering until you popped up. I had to fill some time, and then once I got going, I got to finish the thought process. So, but again, Jeff,
I've been here for 8 minutes.
No, you just popped up
eight
on my
minutes,
screen. Not a minute.
8 minutes.
All right. Well, you weren't on my screen, but Jeff, the show is yours. I will be the sidekick. I am not the eye candy. I will just be the guy sitting here listening and running. So, Jeff, take it over. It's all yours.
Well, what could be said, Tom? We do so much on Thursday nights with everything that we decided we had to add an extra night just to talk about football. Because, let's face it, we have no life. And we have to talk about football because this is like all we got, right?
That's very true, Jeff. I will not argue that.
But anyway, and we want to play ESPN once in a while and do what Len Berman and the rest of those guys do and give you some scores and highlights that we could come up with that we feel as though is highlights. Why do you want to watch shows and listen to radio where other people talk about stuff when we could do it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We could do it. We could do some better than most of them, I tell you the truth.
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I'm open. I'm already watching our ratings plummet on the screen myself.
So, Jeff, you know what? Here's what everybody's going to ask, Jeff. What is the NFL recap show all about?
Well, it's about recapping, really. If you think about it, we're going to go through every game, scores, highlights, what we thought was a good game or, you know, what may affect standings, divisions within divisions and conferences and possible playoff ramifications as we get later on in the season. Like I said, there's so much that we do on Thursdays that we had to add this so that we could completely close out the week of the NFL on Tuesday and then start looking forward to the new week, you know, tomorrow and Thursday and so on for the rest of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives us time to get the Thursday, Sunday, and my night game over with and get some highlights and bring them to you. And that's what we want to do. And me and Tommy discussed it last week, and it's a lot of fun, and it just gives us, like I said, another hour to talk about football. So, Tom, what else? Is there anything that surprised you this week before we really get into it?
Let's see. What surprised? Yes, the play of the Cleveland Browns, Jeff, and subsequently the play of the Saints. You know, that game was probably the most surprising game to me. Browns hung around, missed four field goals, should have won the game. And the fact that the Saints went home opener and laid an egg and should have lost that game was a surprise to me, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm little. A lot of people picked the Saints to win it all, and right now they're not looking so good. So, let's start off with that game, Tom, and see where we stand. Let me just look through my notes and find it real quick.
Okay.
Right, of course. Okay, there we go. So it was the Saints 21, Browns 18.
Yep.
Drew Brees didn't have such a good game. With my incomplete stats, I forgot to write how many yards he had. But,
I can tell you, Jeff. Hold on 1 second. Drew Brees for the week, I think it was like 280. I can tell you in 2 seconds. Drew Brees, 28-35 for 243, two TDs, no picks.
All right, so, you know, he's throwing the touchdowns, but the running game was going nowhere. They rushed 23 times for 62 yards, no touchdowns. The Browns, on the other hand, had Tyrod Taylor. He was 22 of 30, 22 of 30, one pick, one touchdown, but he was sacked three times. Each quarterback was sacked three times. Taylor hit 246 yards, and the Browns showed some life of a rushing game. 27 rushes with 93 yards. The Saints were supposed to be more of a complete team this year.
Yep.
Defense, better running game and everything. If they don't get that on track, this could be a team that could have some problems. And I like the Saints. I think they're a pretty good team. I like Breeze. And I would like to see somebody different get into the playoffs once in a while and make some noise and get to the Super Bowl. And I would love to see the Saints get to the Super Bowl. But I'll tell you, after two games, they're really not showing me much. And
no,
I just
but
don't
they have
see
a history, it. Jeff. They do have a history of not playing well in their first couple of games. So I'm not surprised. Well, I am surprised because I thought the Saints would be better so far this year. And they did not look good. Obviously, they lost their first game. Right now, the division, just for the record, they are, you know, there's three teams tied at 1-1. But surprisingly, Jeff, that's going to be a tough division. It's not going to be as easy, maybe, as we thought. Tampa 2-0, Atlanta 1-1, Carolina 1-1, and the Saints. And the Saints have probably looked the worst of all of them. So, surprisingly, this game was close. You know, here's the thing I'm going to ask you about this game from my perspective. Are the Browns for real after two games?
Well, you know, listen, they are all 1-1. They did play to a tie with the Steelers, and they lost by 3 points to the Saints. So evidently, they definitely improved, which they have a lot of young talent on that team with a lot of high draft picks. So it's going to be a long, slow ride for the Browns. I don't see them going to the playoffs this year, but I definitely see them falling, you know, at the rate they're going, probably within 3 to 5 wins this year, which is a big improvement for them, considering that they've won one game over the last two seasons. So, you know, as of right now, they lost the second game of the season, first overall, but second game they played. But to know that you fell 3 points shy of beating the Saints, a Super Bowl contender, and you tied the Steelers, another Super Bowl contender, I think that speaks volumes for that team in Cleveland.
Yes. I do. Listen, again, a lot of high draft picks. And it's time to put that on the field. You know, here's the thing, Jeff, and I guess we don't want to belabor it, and this is probably more of a Thursday night thing, but, you know, 0-1-1 at this point, you know, I think it's time for Baker Mayfield. I don't think that Tyrod Taylor is the answer for the future. This team's not going to the playoffs. And it's playing well enough where if you just got a little bit more of a spark somewhere, I think this team can win. I like to see Baker Mayfield. We'll get more into that on Thursday, but I'm just curious.
Yeah, that it's early, and we'll see what happens. But you know, we don't want to spend too much time on one particular game because we have a somewhat of a limited window.
Yep,
so
45
why don't we
more
head
minutes.
Over to the NFC North, where Minnesota and Green Bay played to a tie. Both teams are now 1-0-1. And Cousins had a pretty good game, 35 of 48, 425 yards. The ground game, not so much. But what I liked was the Vikings had a big third quarter, 22 points in the third quarter. Aaron Rodgers playing on a bum knee was 30 of 42 with one touchdown. And the ground game for the Packers was pretty good. Now, here's two teams that were also picked pretty high by people.
Yep.
And after two games, they're 1-0-1. Is that tie going to make a difference, you think, somewhere down the line for these teams?
Well, you know, it's a good question, Jeff. I say this. I think it will. I'm not sure because they each have a tie against each other, so that's going to be the odd thing. So probably at the end of it, probably, I don't think the Bears are for real. I obviously don't, you know, our Lions at 0-2 are not going to be in the hunt, I don't think. I think the, you know, here's the problem I have with this game is the game was decided on a very bad penalty. I don't know if you got a chance to see it. But I thought, you know, that play resulted, had the penalty not been called on Clay Matthews for roughing the quarterback, it's a pick, the game ends, and the Packers win by 8. Turns out they get the penalty, the Vikings go down, score a touchdown, tie the game up, and everybody misses field goal, extra points and field goals, so the game ends in a tie. But I think it shows you, I mean, the Packers and the Vikings are real. I think they're for real.
Yeah, I think once Rodgers gets over this knee injury, you know, this is going to be a team to be reckoned with. But we kind of said that, and we kind of figured that there was going to be a wild card coming out of this division with these two teams.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting how that unfolds throughout the season. But let's bounce around a little bit. Let's go over to the AFC, because this was one that I thought was an interesting game. Okay, and that was the Chiefs and the Steelers. The Chiefs 42 over the Steelers 17. The Chiefs are now 2-0. And in the start of the season, we really weren't believers in the Chiefs. And with Mahomes starting with 10 touchdown passes, 6-1 game, 23 of 38, 326 yards. He got sacked once. They had the ground game going, 25 for 127 yards. Big Ben. Typical game from Big Ben, 39 of 60, 452 yards, 3 touchdowns. He took a sack, but the ground game is lacking. 13 rushes, 33 yards. Do you think they're missing somebody over there?
Well, that's the question of the day, Jeff. And here's the problem I have with it. See, I there's been talk that he's going to report, and he's got no choice. They've obviously moved on without him. He's losing money. He's got to play. He's going to show up. Here's the problem. The locker room's divided because the players are calling him out. Antonio Brown missed showing up on Monday. He was fired up on the sideline for some reason, even though they threw the ball his way a ton of times. They scored a ton of points. You know, I think that team is in trouble. I think the only thing they're lucky is that division is not good. And, you know, I don't believe in the Steelers. Their defense is terrible. You know, but, yeah, yes, Jeff. Anytime you have a Le'Veon Bell who's not on your team, who's on your team is not in camp, that's a big loss for your team.
Well, how about this, Tom? You're putting your offense on the arm of a 37, 38-year-old quarterback and with no running game. So people are going to key in on him. And, I mean, even though he's big and he has had a few injuries in the past, you know, you're dealing with somebody that age, time is going to catch up to these older quarterbacks. And you don't want that to happen. If you're a Steelers fan, you don't want that to happen this year because right now all they seem to have is Roethlisberger. It's going to be interesting because now the Steelers are tied with Cleveland at 0-1-1 with Cincinnati, I believe, 2-0 in that division. So as time goes on, we're going to have to see some better play out of the Steelers or they're going to be watching the playoffs at home come January.
Well, yeah, 0-1-1. You know, here's the thing, Jeff. You got a 37, 38-year-old quarterback who threw 60 passes. You know, that's a lot of throws for anybody. And you're right. It brings up your point of Le'Veon Bell not being there. to have to throw the ball 60 times, but they were by, they were down 21-0. He had to throw the football. I'm looking up Connor to see how many yards rushing he had, but I don't think it was much.
No. All right. Well, let's head back over to the NFC where we had the Rams completely beat the shit out of the Cardinals 34-0 with Sam Bradford doing everything he can to try to get Sam Rosen in the game by going 17 to 27 for 90 yards, one sack. The running game wasn't that good. 15 rushes, 54 yards. Johnson was 13 of 48. But when you go back over to the Rams side, Goff is starting to look like the real deal. 24-32, 354, a touchdown, an interception, but he took two sacks. And the running game was solid, 33 attempts, 90 yards, with Gurley getting three touchdowns and 42 yards on 19 carries. Mm-hmm. So I think the Rams are showing their dominance. The Cards are sinking already. And when does Rosen come in the game? When do we see a different Sam on this center?
Yeah, you know what? I have to tell you, Jeff, I think that can be said on – I mean, Allen's already playing, and I think and I think it's the right move, get him in there. You know, Donald's obviously already playing and playing well. I think Mayfield's on the doorstep. And, you know, if you're the Cardinals, you need a spark. And I mean, I don't know what Rosen looks like. I didn't see him play at all in the preseason, Jeff, but I think it's knocking on the door time. Bradford's obviously not going to be the answer long term.
No, I agree, dude. I agree. I totally agree. And staying within the NFC for a little bit, we had the Falcons and the Panthers. Falcons 31-24, Matt Ryan 23-28. Pretty good consistency there. He must have had a good game, 272 yards, two touchdowns, no sacks. But on the other side, Newton 32-45, three touchdowns, one interception, two sacks, and 335 yards. The Falcons had the running game. Unbelievable. 32 rushes, 170 yards, two touchdowns, but six different rushes.
Yeah.
Running the ball for them. McCaffrey on the Panthers side of the ball, 14 receptions, 102 yards. Ridley for the Falcons finally got involved, four catches, 64 yards. Julio Jones, five catches, 64 yards. Both teams are 1-1 in that division. So them along with the Saints, all three of these teams, to me, underperforming. And, I mean, we'll get to the Buccaneers, but right now, after week two, Buccaneers 2-0 in that division. Who saw this coming?
Yeah, it's a shock. And, again, it's going to beg the question, what happens when Jameis Winston returns? I mean, you know, that's a tough one. You got some of the players. I saw DeSean Jackson saying, you know, Ryan's got to stay. But I'll say this, and I said it to somebody today, you can keep Ryan Fitzpatrick. At some point this year, he will return to being Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, you know what, Tom, speaking of Ryan Fitzpatrick, let's jump over to that
that matchup.
Buccaneers game. But what are we going to do is we're going to break out something new right now. Well, I'm going to ask you, there's a certain button over there. So if you can hit that button, because Ryan Fitzpatrick's game was nothing short of
remarkable.
There you go. This man has had eight touchdown passes, one rushing, and over 800 yards thrown in two games. Get a load of this. Four-plus 50-yard touchdown passes through two games, first time since 1972, the first multi-75-yard touchdown passing in one game, first quarterback in Bucs history to throw for four touchdowns in consecutive games, and the first 2-0 start since 2010. That, my friend, is pretty
remarkable.
Yeah, I was
shocked. That's how you have to look at it, man.
Yeah. Listen, nobody could have seen it coming. Nobody could say they knew it was going to happen. You know, the best you could have hoped for is that he didn't implode and, you know, got them a 2-1, maybe stole a game or two. But it's been remarkable as the
remarkable.
And it's no other way to put it, Jeff. It's the perfect term for it because, you know, nobody could see this happening. But I'll always temper it and say at some point he will the slipper will fall off, you know, and he will become Ryan Fitzpatrick and he will implode. The question is, what point do you make that switch back? That's going to be the big question, I think, for the Bucs team.
I don't know, Tom, but right now, I mean, listen, Bucs 21, Eagles 20, Bucs 27, Eagles 21, defending Super Bowl champs 1-1. Fitzpatrick 27 out of 33, only 6 incompletions, 402 yards, 4 touchdowns, an interception. He was sacked twice. The ground game was only 23 rushes, 43 yards, no touchdowns. Jackson, 4 receptions, 129 yards, 4 different receivers with a touchdown, bringing the Bucs to 2-0. On the other side of the ball, you know, the Eagles passing with 34 of 48, 334 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions, but they were sacked 3 times, and that was without JPP in the game. They rushed for 24 times, 91 yards, 2 touchdowns, and with 11 catches for 94 yards. The Eagles, right now, there's nobody in that NFC East division that's really breaking away from the crowd, but, you know, a little down. It's going to cause them, I think, to push Wentz a little further, get him into the game a little sooner. But
he's playing Sunday. So, well, here's the question.
Yeah.
They play like crap the first game against the Falcons, and if they played anybody else, they'd probably be 0-2 right now. So the question is, does Carson Wentz make that big a deal on that team? You think, and also a missed question, do you think that maybe, just maybe, had they been 2-0, they wouldn't have rushed him back as fast as they are right now?
Well, let me ask you something. Would you rush him back if you were 2-0 and you had a one-game lead in that division? I know I wouldn't.
No,
but
I would.
Right now, anything could happen. It's early in the season. I'm sure Wentz wants to get out there as soon as possible. But, you know, you are dealing with a knee injury. And is he going to be fully healed? Is he rushing himself? And are you going to put your season in danger by getting him out there too soon? So I agree with you. I would be careful with that.
Right. Yeah. No, they might be rushing him on, but I think the Eagles are going to be in trouble. But you said it right when you opened it. You know, nobody else in that division is standing out as a team to beat. So I think, you know, the Eagles could win the division by default.
Yeah. So let's move on to the next one, man. The Niners taking a close one over the Lions. Jimmy Garoppolo, 18 to 26, 206 yards, 2 touchdowns, but he was sacked 6 times, lost 50 yards. The ground game provided 190 yards on 28 rushes. The 49ers are 1-1, and then you look at the Lions side of the ball, you know, they did sack the quarterback 6 times. Matt Stafford threw 34 for 53 times, 53 attempts throwing the ball, 347 yards, 3 touchdowns, but he got sacked twice. And the Detroit ground game, 18 touches, 98 yards, but no touchdowns. Is Matt Patricia, is he too defensive of a coach? Is he over his head? What do you see going on? We saw him on the national stage last week. What do you see going on with Detroit and Matt Patricia? You used to be a Patriots guy. What do you think has to happen over there?
I still believe I'm a Patriot guy when I'm not rooting for my New York beloved Giants. But, you know, Jeff, he's a defensive guy who's given up 48 and 30 points in 2 consecutive games. I think this team doesn't have a lot of talent. I don't think they're buying it. See, somebody brought it up this week. I thought it was a great point. You know, when you're Bill Belichick, you can walk into a room and say, hey, if we all run out in the field and drop our pants, we can win the game. And everybody in the league will buy because of Bill Belichick. But I think these guys who are Belichick disciples, the guys who go out and have their own team, try to bring with them that Belichick way or the Patriot way, and guys around the league aren't buying into it yet. And, you know, there's all sorts of grumblings over there about, hey, he works them too hard. They practice too hard, and I think there's a lot of unrest. And to be honest with you, I just seems like to me that he is not a big he doesn't adjust well in games, offensively or defensively. And I think that team's in a world of trouble for the season. And I wouldn't be surprised, Jeff, if it keeps it up like this, if he's not back next year.
Well, you know what, Tom? I guess it all depends on the team's overall performance. You know, don't forget, it is only two games, but then again, it is the Lions.
Right.
So you really can't expect too much from this team. You never could. You're right. They are lacking of a lot of different weapons.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that he's going to get more than 1 year up there. If the players are complaining about him, though, they start to see results. I wonder if they're going to have the same complaints about him. Or are the players going to quit on him and make his life miserable up there? So, you know, time will tell with this one, but I think he's going to get another year or so out of there.
It's probably because he got a good – I think he got either a 4 or 5 year deal, but it's like the old Tom Coughlin thing. Before Tom Coughlin won the Super Bowl, he was a terrible, hard-driving coach. After he won the Super Bowl, he was the most beloved coach in their recent history. So – That's how it works. Win and your beloved lose and you're a tyrant.
Yeah, you're right.
So
well, let's move on to the next one, man.
Go ahead.
The Colts and the Skins, Redskins. I forgot to write how many yards Andrew Luck threw for. If you could look that up.
Hold on. I do have it. Andrew Luck. Why don't I see rushing? Did he not have a good game? Wow. Hold on, it's got to be here. I'm just not seeing it.
Well, he was 21-31 with 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
Yeah.
He got sacked once.
Okay, yes.
The ground game was working for them. 28 touches, 104 yards, and a touchdown. And Hilton, 7 catches, 83 yards, and 1 touchdown. So the Colts were 1-1 in their division.
Yep.
And then you go over to the other side. The Skins only scored 9 points, but Alex Smith, 33 of 46, 292 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. The ground game was 22 of 65, including Peterson, 11 rushes, 20 yards, no touchdowns. Receiver Thompson over there, 13 catches, 92 yards. But are the Skins relying too much on an old quarterback and an old running back? And maybe they're going to be tired by midpoint of the season here?
I do. I think Adrian Peterson doesn't have any left in the tank from what I've seen in these two games. I'll tell you that I've never been a big Alex Smith fan. I think Alex Smith is a game manager, and when surrounded with talent, Alex Smith can be a good quarterback. But, no, I think anything to expect these two guys to lead that team, even in a very bad, so far, very bad NFC East, I don't see much out of it. I don't understand the direction of the Washington Redskins. You get rid of Cousins. I get it. You don't want to pay him. And then you bring over Alex Smith. You don't have a running game, so you pick up Adrian Peterson. You know, I don't get Daniel Snyder and the Redskins, Jeff.
No, neither do I, dude. But you know what? Here's a couple disappointing teams to me, the Titans and the Texans.
Yeah.
2017 over the Texans. The Titans went quarterback by committee. I know that Mariota wasn't exactly healthy, but I don't know what else happened, or bad play, whatever. But the Titan quarterbacks went 15 of 22, 183 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 sack. And the running game was 34 for 100 with no touchdowns. But the Texans, Watson did his thing at 22 out of 32, 310 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception, but he took 4 sacks. And the ground game was all over the place, 26 yards, 26 carries, 148 yards, 200-yard-plus receivers, and this team is still 0-2. Does the Texans bounce back and get back in the race here? Are they out of the race already after week two? What's going on?
Well, listen. You know, I think the Jaguars are the cream. I don't believe in Tennessee or the Colts. You know, each team 1-1. I don't believe in the Tennessee Titans. They have trouble at quarterback. When when Mariota can't stay on the field, and when he can, he's been outplayed by Blaine Gabbert. You know, I have a huge problem with that. Can the Texans turn it around? Yes. Will they? I don't think so, Jeff. I think Deshaun Watson's a little overrated. I think that defense is taking it tough. Let's see. They've scored 37 points and given up 47 in two games. And they gave up an ugly special teams touchdown this week. Two defensive plays combined for a fake punt and scored and beat them. You know, I think the Texans are in a bit of trouble, and I don't see a wild card out of that division, Jeff. I think that's at this point, as people turn it around, the Jags win that division going away.
Well, speaking of divisions, let's go over to the AFC West. And Denver 2019 over the Raiders. Case Keenum, 19-35, 222 yards, no touchdowns and interceptions, sacked once. The ground game was working for the Broncos, 28 rushes, 168 yards, two touchdowns. Lindsey, 14 rushes, 107 yards. And Sanders, one of their receivers, four catches, 96 yards, brings the Broncos to 2-0. And then on the other side of that game, you got the Raiders, who we picked to do a lot better. And by this time, we figured would be bumping for a Super Bowl out of 0-2.
Yeah.
Cost 29 out of 32, which is a great day. Only three incompletions, 288 yards, one touchdown, one sack. The ground game was working well, 27 rushes, 92 yards with Lynch, 18 carries, 65 yards with a touchdown. Amani Cooper, 10 catches, 116 yards, but this team doesn't seem to get on track at 0-2, and already two games out of first place in their division. And, you know, losing to Denver is big for them, that team and that division come playoff time. Are the Raiders, are the Denver Broncos for real, and are the Raiders ever going to play good again? What's the story? What's going on?
I just start with the Raiders. I don't think that Gruden I don't think the team is sold on Gruden. I don't think that Derek Carr is on the same page. I think the numbers are good for Carr, Jeff. But here's what I look at: 32 points scored, 53 points away. The problem with the Raiders is defense, and they sold the best player in football, a defensive player in football, for two future picks. Now, I don't think it's a terrible deal, but if you want to know why you're not a good team, check out Chicago and see how good Khalil Mack's playing, and then you'll know why they're not a good defensive team. So they sold it out for this year. I don't believe in the Broncos. Case Keenum, I mean, here's a typical what I think Case Keenum is. 19 of 35, 222. So barely 10 yards of completion and about a little over 50% on his completion percentage. Case Keenum with a good defense and a decent running game will be okay. If you ask him to put that team on his back, Jeff, they're in big trouble. The Broncos have an outside chance to steal a wild card. I'm shocked on the but the Raiders, I think they're going to be in for a miserable season.
I hear you. And speaking of miserable seasons, this one is excellent. I love this one. This is far from miserable for me. But when you go up north a little bit into the Massachusetts area, New England area, some people are going to be very upset about this one. Tom, your team, the Jaguars, a team that you were very high on, beat the Patriots by 11 points, man, two scores. So that's a good thing. Blake Bortles, 29 of 45, 317 yards, it looks like. I can't remember.
377 yards. 77.
But you know what? Hit the button for that one because that my writing is so bad. It's remarkable, man. Give it to me, man. Come on.
Remarkable.
That's how bad my writing is. It's remarkable. I can't even read it myself.
Yes.
Four touchdowns, one interception, no sacks. This is something that we would have never thought about Bortles in the past. The running game was going, 24 rushes, 104 yards, no touchdowns, though. Cole, seven receptions, 116 yards and a touchdown. And then there's the Patriots. Tom Brady, 22 of 35, 234 yards, two sacks, two touchdowns, no interceptions. The ground game worked for them, 24 rushes, 82 yards, seven receivers, seven different receivers Brady used. Do you think they're having receiver problems up there? Is he trying to click with somebody? What's going on up there in New England, Tom? What do you see?
Well, here's the first thing I see. I see a team that's in a little bit of disarray. I see a team that fundamentally cannot tackle. I mean, I watched it. They can't tackle. And then the other problem I see is, yes, they have a bunch of good possession receivers. I love Chris Hogan. Gronkowski is a beast still, possession receiver. Even when Edelman comes back three games from now, a little bit more than a possession receiver. The problem is Brady doesn't have anybody to stretch the field until right now. I know we're not going to get into the Josh Gordon thing, but I think that may have a big – that could turn it around. But let's stay in the game. I watched this game. The Jags made the Patriots look old. They made play after play. And I will tell you right now, Jeff, unless Gordon does something or there's a power change, without their best running back, Leonard Fournette, this team looked like a team that should be knocking on the door of the Super Bowl come February.
So, you know what, Tom? It is only the middle of September.
Yep.
And we've seen teams get off to great starts and crash and burn. We've seen teams get off to horrendous starts and end up hoisting a trophy over their heads. So
it's
too early to anoint anybody as of right now, but it is interesting to watch and see what's going to happen, and maybe the changing of the guard is going to happen down south in Florida instead of out west in Los Angeles, where we thought it was going to happen after last year with the Raiders.
I think it's not wide open. I'll tell you right now, there are three or four really good, like right now, Jeff, you have 7-2-0 teams. Four of them didn't make the playoffs last year. So it's a very interesting or start of the season. Like, I know we're going to go through, but like, did anybody expect Kansas City to be 2-0 or Denver to be 2-0? You know, Cincinnati's 2-0. You know, did anybody expect Miami to be 2-0? I mean, there's a lot of 2-0 teams that you put before the season. I would have bet you they were 0-2 to start the year.
Yeah, I hear you. But, you know, the NFL is a weird place. And speaking of weird places, let's touch on one of those 2-0 teams, the Cincinnati Bengals, facing off against the Ravens, coming out with a 34-23 win, putting the putting the Bengals at 2-0 in the top of their division. The Ravens at 1-1, and you got Dalton on the Cincinnati side, 24-42, 265 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions, no sacks. The running game, 28 rushes, 108 yards on the ground. He used eight receivers. Boyd, 91 yards and a touchdown. A.J. Green, 5 catches, 69 yards, 3 touchdowns. So he's clicking with his receivers.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And then the Ravens. Flacco, 32 of 55. That's a lot of passing, man.
A lot of throws. Yeah.
376 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 4 sacks. The rushing game was not very good, man, not very good. And here's something that I found interesting. Lamar Jackson, 2 rushes, 6 yards. Tom, why would you use a quarterback this early in the year in a gimmick offense? I just don't understand it. It's like, are you using it so you could tell the guy that he played? What is the point? I don't understand it. Please tell me, why are these quarterbacks involved in these trick plays? I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I mean, listen, I understand he's probably third string at this point, so they're trying to run something different, change it up a little bit. But to me, you change the rhythm of your offense when you make plays like that. You take your regular quarterback out. You change things up. You know, you're sneaking in one play in a game. I get it. Run it twice. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of it, Jeff. That smells of desperation to me when you stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Tom? Enough on them because we have 3 games left to go over, and I want to spend some time on 2 of them. So let's go over
the last 16
game
minutes
with the Bears and the Seahawks. Trubisky, decent game, 25-34, 200 yards. 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 2 sacks. The ground game was 86 yards on the ground. Khalil Mack, 5 tackles, four solo, one sack. So he calmed down after week one.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, he still had a decent game. And then when you go over to the Seattle side of this, Russell Wilson, 22 of 36, 226 yards, took six sacks, two touchdowns and an interception, and threw the ball to nine receivers, only 74 yards on the ground. Is Seattle's time done?
Yeah. Yes. I am not a big believer in Russell Wilson. I think Russell Wilson is at best a game manager and a very good, incredible athlete. I've never been a huge Russell Wilson fan as far as him being a quarterback in the NFL. I think you need to surround him with talent and not force him to be the number one guy and not be the guy who puts the team on his back. Now, he's played better the last couple of years, but I am still not a believer in Russell Wilson. There's not enough talent up there. They can't run the football, and I think their defense is done. You know, the Legion of Boom is gone. I think you're seeing that team will probably, I would say, if not the end of this year, next year, this team will have a completely new face. I think this will be a big change up in Seattle. I would not be surprised. Let me take a fast look. They won't finish dead last because I think Arizona's worse, Jeff. But they'll be right.
Yeah,
they'll be looking for a top 10 pick in next year's draft. So I'm not a big fan of Seattle Seahawks and what they're doing right now.
Now we got our next two games are I want to spend a few minutes on them. So I want to do the first one quickly so that
hold
we
on.
Can spend
before
a little
you,
more
before
time
you
on
do
the
it, Jeff,
one.
can I just jump in 1 second? I just want to again announce I want to thank our sponsor for the show, RFO Records, John Mark Hefkin, everybody down there. Thank you guys for sponsoring this episode of Hard Rockin' Sports. We'll be back Thursday night with the regular edition of Hard Rockin' Sports, which we do every Thursday night from 6:30 to 9:30 live on Blog Talk Radio. Check out hardrockinsports.com for more info on this and all the episodes of Hard Rockin' Sports. And check out rflrecords.com for more info on all the exciting news coming up. They got album releases from Livesay. We got concerts, new band signings. Love that they got Sphere in there. And after the fall, excuse me, guys, but lots of stuff going down. So, again, thanks to everybody down at RFL Records for sponsoring this episode and all Tuesday night episodes of the NFL Recap. Jeff, sorry, go ahead.
All right. Now, if I want to.
Remarkable.
Don't waste time, Tom. Don't waste time.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Let me handle the Jet one. I'll take care of this in a nutshell.
Sure.
The Jets lost to the Finns. They usually split. Donald had a decent game after a shitty first half. Tannehill sucks. The Dolphin ground game, 135 yards. They threw to seven receivers. Donald took three sacks, threw two interceptions. Quincy and Nua, seven catches, 92 yards. Pryor, four catches, 84 yards, no touchdowns. Okay, now that we're done with that, let's focus on the Giant-Cowboy game.
Wait a second. You're not getting off that easy. Whoa. There's a little bit of talk
Giants,
about this game. All right, get your host. Go ahead.
What is going on with the Giants? I can't help but emphasize that I'm not a Giant fan, but I've started paying attention to them more because of this show and because of you. Okay? And I said all summer long, that they didn't do enough on an offensive line. Eli, 33 of 34, 279 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions, but seven sacks. Barkley, 11 rushes, 28 yards, no touchdowns, 2.5-yard average. But he did catch 14 passes out of the backfield for 80 yards, no touchdowns. We'll get to Dallas later. Let's concentrate on the Giants right now. Are they wasting Barkley this year? Because
I don't
of that
know,
offensive
Jeff.
Line.
I don't know. I'll say this. We talk about this off the air, Jeff, and I've talked to other people on it, and I'll keep saying it this way. I think that the way the NFL does things now, or the teams do, by not practicing harder in training camp, not playing their teams in the preseason games enough for fear of injury has hurt a lot of teams, and I think that's why teams get off to the slow start. Now, some teams, you know, how do you argue that the Chiefs aren't in midseason form? How do you argue that the Jaguars aren't in midseason form? Here's a classic example for the Giants. They got a brand-new offensive line four new players and a guy out of position. And they basically got a handful of snaps, and now we've expected them to get into the beginning of the season against two very good defensive lines and play well. And I will tell you, as a Giant fan, I watched every snap. They could not handle a stunt, a twist, a blitz. They were overwhelmed and overmatched. And the answer to your question is, if they continue to play like they are right now, yes, Saquon Barkley will be a waste for this season. I don't still don't regret the pick. And this right now, all of this, to me, is completely on the play of the offensive line.
Listen, you can't – here's the thing, Tom, to me, okay? You can't say that he's a waste of a pick only because he has the chance to be something special, without a doubt. But with that offensive line playing the way it does, the one name that I haven't seen stick out for the Giants so far has been Beckham, okay? He signed a big contract, and you expect more out of him. But with Barkley as the running back, to me, that offensive line isn't doing anything. Defenses are going to key in on Barkley. They're going to make the Giants such a one-dimensional team that I think that I could go out there and have success against them. And Eli, a 37-year-old quarterback, he shouldn't be running. He shouldn't be doing this. This man, they should have a line to keep him protected in the pocket, hand off, do what he's got to do. But they're going to get him killed. They're going to get him killed. I say that Eli doesn't make the rest of the season. I think somewhere along the line, he's going to catch an injury. He's going to miss some time. I really feel that.
Well, again, if he's getting – listen, I've seen Eli get hurt, hit in the past, and he's as tough a quarterback. He might not be the greatest quarterback ever, but he's one of the toughest quarterbacks I've ever watched. But I agree with you, Jeff. Here's the problem. If you see how many catches Barkley had was 14 for 80 yards, I would say half of those were better.
A really good day.
But half of those catches were behind the line of scrimmage or less. He was amazing in the fact that I would say 90% of the time he made the first guy miss. But they were all over him. Like, he could not get ahead of steam. I will tell you that if this guy ever gets a hole where he gets into the secondary untouched, you cannot bring him down. He's too fast and too strong. Problem is, he gets hit or harassed at the line of scrimmage or in the backfield every play. And to go back to your Beckham comment, week one, he had 11 catches for 111 yards. He played really well. The problem is Eli is getting no time to go through his reprogression or let him run a route where he can make a move. And he's having to throw the ball way too quick, and he's getting a little gun-shy from it. And he's throwing the ball, checking down way too fast because he's just not getting any time. I watched every snap of that game. And people, I got friends who are Giant fans, Jeff, and they are completely, they're ripping the offensive line, but they're starting to blame Eli, and I will not blame Eli until he gets a game where he can drop back and scan the field, make his reads, and then throw the football.
Listen, I got to reiterate and say, I'm not a Giant fan. I am not a Giant fan, but you cannot blame Eli if the man doesn't have time. No quarterback could be successful if they don't have time. The offensive line has been an issue for them since Coughlin was coach, okay?
Yep.
And for several
Absolutely.
Years since he was coach, they just don't seem to be able to get it together. So if that offensive line isn't giving Eli time, it doesn't matter who he has as a receiver. He's not going to be able to connect. He's not going to be able to have an air game. Barkley, he could be Barry Sanders, Gale Sayers, Simpson, whoever you want to roll all into one, Dorsett, Peyton, it doesn't really matter. If the hole's not there, they're going to start keying in on him because they're going to know that Eli don't have the time to throw and that he's going to go back to the running back, Barkley. They're going to key in on Barkley. It's going to be a long season for the Giants. Tom, I stand by my prediction when I say 5-11 at best for this team because it doesn't seem to be getting any better. They need to do something quickly about that offensive line. I don't see it happening this year. But next year, they're going to have to do something. They got their running back. They got to go heavy in the draft on offensive line next year. They have to.
Jeff, it's hard to argue it. Here's the problem. You know, you spent a ton of money on Solder, so he's not going anywhere. Hernandez is a second-round pick. He's not going anywhere. And at right guard, you got Omama. He's not going anywhere. They just gave him a ton of money. So at three spots, you're locked in. Now the center just got hurt, and he's out for the season. And I think Flowers is doomed, and I'd be surprised if he makes it through the rest of the season. So, you know, this line to me is 3/5 set for the next 2 years. I don't know. I just don't know. But, Jeff, it will not turn around until this offensive line clicks. It may happen this year. It may turn around at some point. But right now, I don't see it.
Well, here's my thing. I mean, I understand your point. I understand what you're saying. But that the tackle Solder, I just can't get it out of my mind. When the Patriots get rid of somebody, they're doing it for a reason. They're not getting rid of him because they say he has 3 years left. You know, Belichick just has this uncanny ability to unload players at, like, the right time. It's like he sold his soul to the devil for this ability. I don't know what it is. And does he know something about Solder? Is he missing a step? Was he injured? Was something bothering him? You know, anything. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
I don't know
I
either,
just
Jeff.
Don't see, you know, the Giants, more than one place that I read and heard said that it was an iffy signing, but he was the best left tackle on the time. And does it really matter, you know, that you got a great running back, it looks like. He looks like you're a set at running back for the next 5 to 8 years, if not more. You don't know. But if he can't be successful, excuse me, and they key in on him, is he going to be looking at possibly injuries down the line? Because they're going to know that he's got the ball and the ball's going to him. It's going to be so easy to stop this team until they do something with a line. I just don't understand it. The win-now team that they're supposed to be, it's just, I just don't see it, Tom. I really don't.
Well, Jeff, here's the one thing I'll say. You know, I will give Gettleman credit because here's what he did. He came in and he was given an offensive line with Brett Jones and Richburg and Flowers and John Jerry that everybody beat up. So he went out and said, okay, I'm going to go out and get the best free agent offensive lineman around. He tried to get the guy Norwell. Norwell didn't sign. Okay, so now he went to the next two best options. The next two best options in free agency were Omama and Nate Solder, and he got them both. He then went out and got arguably a steal in the second round with Will Hernandez at guard. Everybody, top to bottom, loved this kid. I still think he's going to be a great player down the line. So he went out and got two of the top three free agents in the league and one of the best guards in the draft to fix the line. Now, are we expecting him to fix it immediately, Jeff? Like, you went for a team that won three games last year. Are we expecting him now also to turn around and win 9 or 10? I did. I'll be honest with you. I bought into it. But truth is, this could take a year or two before the offensive line and everything else catches up. So I don't want to blame Gettleman. I think he did a good job. I just think it needs time.
Listen, it's hard to blame any one single person when your team is in flux like this, okay? But, Tom, this is how I see it as an outsider that doesn't know much about the Giants. And I bet you a lot of other non-Giant fans would say the same thing if you were to ask them. You're talking about a team that has trouble on an offensive line. You're talking about a team that has some defensive back issues, okay, secondary issues. Okay, now you're talking about a team that has a 37-year-old quarterback, and you're telling me that this line may take two seasons to gel, which means that Eli is now 38 years old, and I think he's on the decline at 37, and I think the decline is going to be more noticeable at 38. So now you have yourself a decent running back, a more than decent running back, behind a bad line. You just spent a lot of money on receiver, and he's virtually useless if the quarterback doesn't have the time to throw the ball, he's not going to be able to run the route. And you have a running back where everybody's going to have somebody shadowing him, keeping an eye on him. And I think that the Giants have made themselves so one-dimensional that they're no-dimensional, if you ask me, because of not having the line. And I just, Tom, what are they going to do? Really? I mean, where do you go? I know you say that it takes some time to gel, and that's understandable. But, you know, a Giant fan such as yourself, how could you justify and say that, well, they did something good, but it's not working? Aren't you a little concerned?
Of course. But here's the thing. What I want to see is progression. You know, I didn't expect them to come out and be the best team in football. But what you want to see is them getting better. And right now, you're not. You're not. So, you know, here's the problem. You may be a much better team 2 years from now. Offensive line, the great receivers. You know, all your receivers are going to be well under 30. You're going to have a great back. And then you might have a problem when you don't have a quarterback. Because this team needs to win now with Eli. Otherwise, you're starting the quarterback search over again. Now you may be in a position where the team is good, but now you don't have the quarterback. And unfortunately, in this league, most teams do not win unless they have the great quarterback. So
yep.
This is a problem, 100%. I don't know. Right now, I'm hoping that starting this week, we get better. Will we win 12 games this year? No. I just want to see it get better. That's all I want to see. Each week be a better team.
But now, I'm glad you put it that way, Tom. I really am, because I have, and I mean, we might not have the time tonight for this, and we may have to devote some time, because I got one more thing that we must hit before we end the show. You say that you think that you want to see progression and they get better.
Yep.
And last year, progression and getting better week by week was something that I heard as a Jet fan for the Jets, okay,
right.
Last year. But here's the thing. You have a team with an aging quarterback. You have some other players in place. You got some nice pieces, don't get me wrong. But is that team young enough to look at that team and say that you want to see progression and not results? When you have a 37-year-old quarterback, progression is not what you need to see. You need to see results. And he can't get you the results if that team is not – man, you know, like if they don't have – it all starts at the line. It all starts at the line. And if that line isn't playing good, what are you going to do?
The problem is, Jeff, it's going to take some time. Like I said, I go back to the offensive line where I wanted – this line should have played as many snaps as possible in the preseason to work out all the kinks, to get to be a unit. When you're an offensive line, you need to know – everybody needs to know – immediately what to do when a player runs a twist or they run a stunt or a blitz happens. You have to know automatically. I go back to the Giant teams of 2007 and 2011 where you had the same offensive line for the most part and everybody was on the same page. You go back to those Giant great teams of the 80s and 90s, they all were on the same page. Not, you know, no standouts, no Hall of Famers. The problem on this team is this unit needs to gel. You said it. You're right. Is this team young enough? Yes. The team is young enough. The problem is the quarterback's not. So by the time this team may be ready, your quarterback may be done. And that's the problem. So now the question becomes, do you jettison Eli maybe a year early? Because now you want to find a quarterback that's going to grow with this team. And do you draft that quarterback? Do you go free agent? The Giants are in a pickle right now, Jeff. And I don't know how to get out of it.
Oh, you know what, Tom? It is... not that I want to see your team lose. Don't get me wrong, okay? But I have to be honest with you. It is good to hear a Giant fan turn around and say, you know, you don't know what's going on with this team.
No, you don't.
And listen, it is a New York team, and it would be nice to see a New York team relevant again and get to the Super Bowl and play good and all of this other good stuff. But it just... I don't know, dude. If I was you, I'd be very scared because you have, to me, at Eli's age, a fragile quarterback. You have a good running back, but You know, we could go on all day, and it's going to be the same thing. You're talking about a team that, unless that offensive line is clicking, that's what they need. They're showing that that's what they need. And I don't know. I don't know. And hopefully they will rebound. And it would be nice to see both New York teams do good. It would be nice to see the Jets do a little bit better. And yeah. I really think this year, I think that the Jets are going to be, the at the end of the season, are going to be the better team. But I also think they're going to have the brighter future heading into next season.
Well, you're considering the fact that you think you have your franchise quarterback, and that makes the most sense. I think the Jets have a lot of holes. I watched the game Sunday. That offensive line's not very good. They don't have a pass-catching tight end. Defensively, there's a Buster Screen, cannot tackle. He's not a great player. There's still some holes on this Jet team, and you got a rookie quarterback, and he looked like a rookie in a couple times. What I'll say is he played really well, even in some tough spots. This team still – there are some holes. That's a game that if you're a good team, if you're the Jets, you should never have lost that game. Never.
Listen, I agree, okay? They played a bad first half. They came out and played a much better second half. Donald, I mean, listen, he had an incredible game. The whole team had an incredible game the opening night in Detroit. But here's the thing, Tom. He is a rookie, and you do have to expect certain things to happen. This guy is not going 16-0. And if he shows promise, he showed a little poise. You know, he did throw a couple interceptions, and I'm not going to go with the thing that, you know, one was Pryor's fault. Donald threw the ball.
Pryor blew
Pryor
that one.
Pryor didn't run the route, right?
But
if you make a bad throw, it's going to be a bad interception or an incomplete. So he has to learn a little bit more. Maybe he has to follow the receiver a little bit more. I don't know what he's got to do, but I think that he'll get it. But the whole point of it is that, you know, some people were anointing him the greatest thing since sliced bread just a week ago at this time.
Yep.
And then what does he do? He goes out and he has a rookie game. And if you didn't expect that, then you don't know what you're thinking about and what you're talking about. It's just that's how it is.
Yeah. He had some really good moments. He had some bad moments. I don't think his team helped around him. I thought that, yes, Pryor. I don't think it was a terrible throw. I thought he may have forced it a little bit, but Pryor gave up on the ball too soon and cost him an interception in my book. But there were a lot of bad things in that game. But, you know, again, I think it's a tip. The problem is a typical Jet game. You follow up a great game with a lackluster effort and a bad loss. Now here's the problem. Now we're not going to go into this tonight, but now you got to go on the road Thursday night to Cleveland, who's playing pretty well. Home teams have the advantage on Thursday nights, and then you come back 10 days later and play the Jacksonville Jaguars. So this Jet team, I think this is as close to a must-win as you can get at week three. You know, going into Jacksonville 2-1 is a lot better than 1-2.
Well, listen, Tom, you know what? I mean, I said from the beginning, you were the one that said wild card for these guys, that you've seen possibly a wild card for
them. I still believe that. I still do believe that.
And I don't. I'll be the first one to say that this year is not their year, so I don't see them getting into the playoffs at all. But I think that, if anything, it's important for this team to gel and to come together a little bit tighter. But to me, see, here's the thing. I think there's a lot of one-year pieces on this team. And next year, with the cap money that they're going to have, I think they're going to be able to fix a lot of things through free agency. Maybe not so much the draft, because they're down a couple second-round picks. So unless they rebuild their stockpile, I don't see it happening through the draft. I think if they find young talent in free agency, maybe keep some of that money for 2020, I think that they could build a good team within a year or two, and I mean a real good team. But, you know, that remains to be seen. But right now the task ahead is Cleveland. I think these teams are going to be pretty decently matched with the inexperience. But I got to agree with you. I think Cleveland, not even being a home team, they're already a 3-point favorite over the Jets. I think that they're going to have just a little bit more than the Jets, and they're a little bit closer than the Jets are right now, but not much. But you know what, Tom? It's time to close this out because we have one more thing to announce.
Go ahead.
And that is the trial of the half man.
Ah, yes. That's right. That's right. It's officially now being announced that half man is on trial. So go ahead, Jeff. Read the charges.
Well, some of the charges are abandonment and dereliction of duty, being AWOL, lying. I would say lying is one, because he said he was going to be on and then never showed up. Being the half man. The half man is a charge. He is not a full size, although he is of manly age. So we are putting that against him. Tom, is there anything else that I forgot?
No, I think you hit it right, Jeff. I think the half man has been AWOL from his post. He's derelict in his duty. He lied under oath saying that he would be someplace and did not. And, you know, you're accusing him of being short in stature, so he'll have to answer for that.
But in absenteeism, it would be almost impossible for him to answer these charges. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to note motion as I appointed myself the judge in this case. I'm also appointing myself his counsel.
You are? Okay.
Yes, yes. I'm going to appoint you the special prosecutor.
Okay.
And Thursday night, in the last waning moments of the show, we are going to have the trial with or without the half man.
So should I be sending him a subpoena to make sure that he is shows up for his trial?
Listen, it's public knowledge at this point in time. We just did it on an internet radio show. This show has been heard in countries such as Australia, Iceland, United States, Finland, I believe you had said at one point in time.
Russia, Italy, Brazil, we've been all over the world.
I do not think that we have to contact him. The word is already out. Whether he chooses to answer these charges in person is not up to us.
Okay.
That's up to him.
All right, well, the trial of the half man will be 9:30 this Thursday night in the waning moments of the show. We will find a way to contact the half man and let him know that he is on trial starting this Thursday. And if he chooses to appear on his own behalf, if not, his counsel will appear as I grill him on the charges. Levy, then you will find this on Facebook and our website. This part of the show will be out there for all to hear.
And now, just before because we're going to be closing this out, because we want to try to keep this as close to an hour in time as possible for a lot of different reasons. As his counsel, I would just like to, before the judge and the prosecutor, submit his verdict.
Okay, Jeff. So, Jeff, as counsel for the defendant, how does your client plead?
My client pleads guilty, but not guilty.
It's the oddest answer ever, Jeff. That may be the only time in history that's actually been said. But okay, you'll have to explain your answer to the charges on Thursday night. I look forward to finding out what you mean by that as the special prosecutor. And I hope your client is ready for that. And I hope the judge is ready to hand down the sentence.
Oh, the judge is chomping at the bit to hand out the sentence. I would imagine that, you know, the judge is going to be tough, but he's going to be fair at the same time.
Let me see if I have the right words I want to say. We find it quite
remarkable
that you can say that. But we'll see what happens.
He has a job to do, and I'm sure that he's going to do it right. And this is not for us, Tom. This is for justice.
All we need is justice, Jeff. Justice for Hard Rockin' Sports. So we'll leave it at that. This segment, what you just heard, will be on Facebook at some point tomorrow, and certainly on the website for everybody to listen to again, and for Dominic to hear what he's actually being charged with. And so, Jeff, we've come to the end of the very first episode of the Hard Rockin' Sports NFL recap show. You did a spectacular job as the host. If you don't mind, I will kind of end it with the usual thank you to everybody for listening. Thanks for everybody who paid attention on Facebook. Thanks to, again, John Marhefka and everybody at RFO Records for sponsoring this episode of Hard Rock and Sports and endorsing the Hard Rock and Sports Show in general. We thank you for your friendship and for all of your help. Everybody up at RFO Records, check out RFORecords.com for more info on the label and links to all the bands. And congrats to John on all the great things happening up there at RFO Records. So, Jeff, how do you want to end it, Jeff? This is a brand new thing. How do you want to send us out the door?
Tom, me and you on a radio show on any night of the week, it really doesn't matter. There's only one way to end anything that we're doing, so you know where to go.
Stage is that moose, you know.
So when you're playing, you feel like a preserved moose on stage.
Yeah.
That's right, guys. So make sure you thank you guys for all listening to the NFL Recap Show here at the Hard Rock and Sports Show. We'll be back next Tuesday night, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Make sure you come back. We'll give you all the biggest news from each of the past week's games. And then we'll get you ready for Thursday night, where we come back each and every Thursday and give you all the biggest news and information regarding heavy metal, hard rock, and, of course, the world of sports. Come on back this Thursday night. There are no guests. You got 3 hours of Jeff and I talking music and sports, and then the Trial of the Century will be happening at 9:30 p.m. So make sure you all come back this Thursday night, starting at 6:30, for all of the big talk and the big trial itself. So, Jeff, I'll just say for Jeff Towinski, Tom Florio, and everybody here at Hard Rock and Sports, we'll say goodnight. Have a great couple of days, and we'll see you on Thursday. Jeff, anything else you want
to
add?
It has come to my realization that me and you may be the only ones at Hard Rock and Sports. The Half Man has disappeared. The Toothless Man is hardly ever on.
Yep.
Big Nick Marino is busy jet-setting around the world.
Yes, and, he's Costa Rica bound, yes.
Yeah, and thank God he's wearing a shirt, also I can say. And, I mean, it's just like down to me and you. If one of us quits, are you still going to say that thank you from everybody from Hard Rock and Sports?
Well, you know, Jeff, here's the way I look at it. You know, there's a lot of people behind the machine, whether it's our wives, whether it's my dad. You know, there are people at RFO Records. You know, there are a lot of people that support us. What we do each week, it's turning into just you and I doing it. Also, I want to mention Pastor Mike on Wednesday night, so Mike Passamonte and his partner Carl. Check them out 6 to 8 on every Wednesday night, also on the Hard Rock and Sports channels. But, yeah, Jeff, it's me and you as it started, as it will finish. And, again, if people want to stick with us, great. If they don't, when the time comes and this thing takes off, they'll all be looking at the our trail in the dust.
Oh, we can only hope so, Tom. And
absolutely.
Until Thursday night, my friend, I had a blast doing what we do best, which is talk about football. It's always a great pleasure to talk to you about it.
Yep.
And one thing before we go, I'd like to say, when we first started, we were very biased towards our own teams. And I think that we've grown as sportscasters, where we try to look objectively at both teams. And we're not really ripping one another apart, but coming up with legitimate questions for these teams and where they stand. So I'm liking the progress that we've made so far.
I agree, Jeff. I think it's turned into now we've become analysts instead of fans. You know, we look at things objectively. We can praise or rip our team depending on the situation as it's called for. There's times that I'll pick the Jets and you'll be ripping them, and the same thing Giant-wise. So I think it's a good thing, and I think it's a great way to establish credibility is to be honest and say what it really is and how you really feel. And yes, I agree. I think we've come a long way.
Yeah, I like it, man. It's a lot of fun. But
yep,
until Thursday night, we got to wrap this one up. And, you know, we'll be back here again in about 48 hours.
Just about 40, a little, probably 40, about 46 hours from now, we'll be cranking up the show again. No guests, just me and Jeff and anybody else who feels like kicking in. Again, thanks again, everybody who paid attention. You guys have a great night, a great Wednesday, and we'll see you on Thursday night, 6:30. Remember, Hard Rocket Sports, www.hardrocketsports.com for more info. Guys, great night. Jeff, great job. I love the show. Went an hour and 15 minutes went by in a blink of an eye. I got a feeling this show is going to be a major success.
Here's open, Tom. Here's open.
Absolutely.
We're going to be doing it for at least the the regular season, maybe into the playoffs, depending on what's called for. But it's always fun to talk football with you. And have a good night, dude. And I will talk to you tomorrow sometime.
You got it, Jeff. Everybody, good night. Have a great night. We'll see you on Thursday. Good night.
Thanks.